Brother Obie and Brother Alex. You know, often we pick a hymn because it's relevant to our talk, and I just picked that hymn because I like it. That's him. I forgot to bring you the love of your brethren in Sacramento. There's about 8 of us there, and they voted unanimously to send their love. And they're thinking of us while we're here on our road, on our trip. And I would bring you the love of the brethren from the Dom, and I think they're all here. So you've had the chance to have fellowship with them. Who are my brethren, and what is my responsibility to them? Let me ask you this. Who are your brethren, and what is your responsibility to them? I'd like to ask you just to take a little minute here and kind of look around the room and look at the brethren that are here. If you're not, I'll know who you are. I'll point you out. These are your brethren. It doesn't matter where they came from or come from, they're your brethren. And I, something I've been doing recently, and I want to start off, I'm starting off with this because I just feel compelled to do it, is I asked the question, where are we? Can somebody tell me where we are? And I'm not talking about Pennsylvania or whether it's Newark, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania. Where are we, brethren? We're in the holy. We are in the antitypical holy. We are in the real holy. You know, there was that antitypical holy, and Brother Bob talked about it today, about the tabernacle. And he didn't spend a whole lot of time in the holy, but we knew what was in there. He had the candlestick, he had the shewbread, and incense altar. And I appreciate what he said about our Lord offered up the incense. And our prayers, we're in that arrangement in the holy, and our prayers are our sweet incense to Heavenly Father. We've been having those with our hymns and our prayers. We also have the candlestick, which really represents the oil represents the Holy Spirit, and the shewbread, which represents the truth. And so we are literally in the antitypical holy. What a wonderful blessing and place to be when we think about what that really represents. So who are our brethren, or who are your brethren, and what is your responsibility to them? Do you have responsibility to your brethren? Of course, we have a lot of responsibility. You know, in a memorial, we look at that scripture in Ephesians that says, you know, if you partake of the bread and the cup, and you do it unworthily, not understanding or recognizing or the body. And we often identify that with our Lord's body, but I really believe it's our Lord, head and body. Now today we're going to look at the body of Christ in an indirect way, the body members in an indirect way, and as we talk about it, and these are scriptures that we're all familiar with, we talk about it, we'll think about certain brethren that fill certain roles in our lives, and we're going to read the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We're all familiar with that. We're not going to just look at that, we're going to look at some other things, because I think we have to also look at what our responsibility is to our brethren. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. He's telling us, you have spiritual gifts, and we're not ignorant about those spiritual gifts. You know that you were Gentiles, you were carried away with dumb idols, and even as you were led, wherefore I give to you to understand that man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. That no man that speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So that tells us how we recognize, you know, it tells us we recognize our brethren by their fruits. And the fruits are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit interacts in our life. And then verse 4, we start talking about our brethren. There are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. That's pretty clear. There's different administrations, there's different operations. You know, there's a Delaware class. They conduct a convention based on how they want to conduct a convention. Sacramento class, we conduct a convention the way we want, the way we're compelled. The New Brunswick brethren, you know, everybody, there are different operations. We do things differently, but it's the same Spirit. In each of those ecclesias, and there are other ecclesias, I don't want to miss any, but the same Spirit directs our operations, how we conduct ourselves, how we interact amongst each other in our administrations, in our operations, in our diversities. And verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is to give every man to what? To profit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. What's the that manifestation means? It means how it shows itself, the manifestation of how we interact. You know, there's a lot of similarities in different ecclesias and things we do. You go to one class and there's a lot of similarities in how they conduct themselves, how we interact. We have our own dialogue, we have our own vocabulary. The truth has set us apart in so many different ways, but it's the diversity of the Spirit, this Holy Spirit, that does that for us. I want to talk about this manifestation a little bit, and Brother Tom addressed it a little, and it's in Ephesians. I just think that this whole explanation of the Holy Spirit is pretty incredible. This is in Ephesians 1, starting at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, that's us, and your brethren, what? The Spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him. This Holy Spirit is being given to us so we have a revelation and an understanding of God. One of the things we come away with this Bible is understanding God's character. We understand our Heavenly Father. That's the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, how? By the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of your calling. Brother Tom addressed the hope of our calling. What is the hope of our calling? And what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints? That's us, brethren. That's your brethren, the saints. Now, everybody here, I have no doubt, and we can't judge that, you know, everybody here is spirit begotten. Those that are consecrated and made a consecration to the Lord, that consecration having been accepted, you're spirit begotten. You're enlightened. And verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to what? His working power. We believe and understand the things we were talking about and things we understand about God's plans and purposes is because of that mighty power, that heavenly Spirit, God's heavenly Holy Spirit working in us. And I always like this, this 20th verse. The same power that He uses for us to enlighten us is the same power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. It's no different. The Holy Spirit that is here with us in the Holy, that's enlightening us to understand His plans and purposes, is the same Holy Spirit that our Heavenly Father used to resurrect our Lord. And do what? And set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. The most holy. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things, including the church. Our head is over us. His head should be what guides and directs our actions and our interactions amongst ourselves, recognizing the several members of the body of Christ. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head of over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And chapter 2, verse 1, and you have been made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. We talked about that. Being covered by His robe of righteousness, having the application of the ransom on our behalf, He's made us alive, and we were covered by His robe of righteousness. We were reckoned perfect in the sight of God. So now let's go back now and look a little more at these. Who are our brethren? This is verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Have we ever talked to some brother or sister and said, wow, that's wise. Why didn't I think about that? What motivates them to have that thought? We know brethren amongst us that have a lot of wisdom, don't we? We do. To another, the word of knowledge. You know, we've all had mentors. We all have brethren that we look up to, and there's nothing wrong with that. Looking up to, you know, a brother or a sister that has a lot of wisdom and knowledge and we can look up to and go and ask them, you know, what they think about the truth or ask them questions about the truth, and they can motivate us and encourage us. A lot about what we've been talking about, you know, burdens and weight bearing, bearing our cross and our burdens. You know, we go to our brethren and the Holy Spirit should energize us to, you know, think about what their needs are and what they need in terms of assistance and help. To another, faith. We all know brethren that just seem, wow, they're faithful. Their faith is so strong, you know, under all circumstances, they're always a rock. They're always faithful. And some of the gifts of the Spirit of healing. Well, you know, healing is, you know, is there a healing? Well, you know, you can heal a person's mind and his heart by just the right kind of counsel, the right saying the right word of encouragement. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And that prophecy really means speaking the God's truth. To another, discerning of the spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And I think that really, that word tongues, that we know, doesn't mean so much in the terms of what, you know, nominal Christian. I think it's just in different languages. But what is it? But all these worketh that one and very same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God decides what role you take. God has chosen you for a specific thing. There's things that you have and characteristics and qualities you have. And brother, I think Brother Tom mentioned this morning, might have been Brother Bob, 144,000 sympathetic priests. We don't know why God chose that number, but I think we do understand that my abilities and my experiences and my life and the things I'm going through and the trials I'm having and the experience I'm having with myself and my family and my brethren and the world are different than yours. And so the Heavenly Father, my thinking is, the Heavenly Father's chosen each of us because we have a certain set of experiences to be sympathetic priests, to meet all the needs of the world of mankind. And as brethren, we're going to have to, we need to have the ability in our mind to understand that we're going to be working with, they're not going to be raised perfect, they'll be raised perfect physically, but they're going to be as sinful as they were when they died. I believe when they're resurrected, they will have the same sinful characteristics and thinking. God's law will have to be written in their hearts. It's going to take time, and that's one of the mediatorial roles of the church, working through the ancient worthies on the world of mankind to have God's law written in their hearts. We have a lot of, you know, things in this world, a lot of things going on in this country that are just disgusting. You know, it's a testament that, I mean, it's incomprehensible. And as sympathetic priests, we can't be sitting, oh, I don't want to deal with that person. I can't handle that. Okay, and going on, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So, I'll read that again. For as the body is one, we're all one, body, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, you're all one body. We're all one body, and that body is so also is Christ. You know, what are you thinking right now? You know that God knows what you're thinking right now? He knows what I'm thinking right now. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows everything. You know, it's like the prayer issue of prayer. You know, why pray? Because it shows a heart condition to want to be have a communion with the Heavenly Father. But He knows your mind. He knows my mind before I know. Before He probably knows what I would say before I would say it. It's like I would pray and say, well, you know, I give this long list. And I finally said, well, why give Him a list? He knows it. I said, God, You know my list. Why do I want to repeat it? You know, You got to help me because I can't handle it. You got to figure it out. You know what's going on. You got to figure it out. You got to help me. You know, through Your Son, I want, please give me Your grace and mercy and show me the, you know, direct me. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. We were all baptized into one body. One by one Spirit. Not a different spirit, you know, baptized this group, and not a different spirit baptized that group or this group or over here. It was all baptized by one Spirit. But for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. It goes on, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we bond or free, and have made all of us to drink of the one Spirit. We all drink of that one Spirit. The Holy Spirit, which is directing you, is the same Holy Spirit that is directing me. And the brethren sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you, or all across the nation, all around the world, is that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. I like how it goes back and forth. It's, you know, we're all many members, but one body. Or we're one body, but many members. The Apostle Paul is trying to clarify that, it's all of us. It's every one of us. And I like this. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Have you ever stubbed your big toe? You know, have you ever hit your thumb with a hammer? You know, messing up the whole body. So, I mean, it's kind of an odd, analysis, but that's what our Apostle Paul is using the human body as an analysis to show you that every part's important. You know, so he's saying the body has feet and hands and eyes and toes and noses and, you know, legs and arms. But the whole body can't function. It has to function properly. All the parts have to be functioning, and they have, you can't, so I can't cut off my arm. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Oh, I want to be an eye. How many of us are eyes? I want to be an ear. You know, that's an interesting thought. I don't want to think the way they think. I don't want to be that way. That's what this is talking about. Well, they're not in line with me, so I don't need that toe. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need all the body parts. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And this is really important. But now, hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him? The person sitting next to you and behind you, in front of you and around you, is here because God, the most powerful being in the universe, put them there. Bob Goodman's gone, but in 2004 at Chapman University, he says, well, if it was my choosing, if I was making the decision, I wouldn't choose you guys. Now, don't quote me on that. He probably said it a little more diplomatically than I did, but that's what he meant. He would, and don't tell me, he said, I would select a bunch of geeks, computer people. But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, and it have pleased him. Who are your brethren? What is your responsibility to your brethren? And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now, are they many members, but yet one body? Again, many members, but one body. Many members because we bring diversity. You know, the Heavenly Father hath set the members of the body as it has pleased him. A sister at a general convention, we were talking, and she said, we all have a mission. Well, you know, God wants us to do something. There's a reason he's placed us in the body. There's a reason for that. And I think we can find, if we really have an open mind, we can kind of find what that mission is in our daily walking, our walk. What, you know, because everybody brings something different to the table, different skills and different attributes and different knowledge and what have you. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And this is really, this next verse 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, are what? Are the most necessary. Ones that seem to be the most feeble are more necessary. And this next verse, I'll read this next verse, and then I'll make a point. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. Again, let me read that. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we are to bestow more abundant honor. And have more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And this 24th verse kind of puts it in order. But have you ever gone to a convention and seen somebody sitting by themselves and nobody goes over and talks to them? Have you ever seen that? Probably. I have. Well, you know what? You have an obligation. We have an obligation to go over and sit with that sister and that brother and offer, give them a hand of fellowship and find out about them. Our Heavenly Father knows that. We have an obligation. I believe that's what this is telling us. For our comely parts have no need. So how can our comely parts have no need? Why? Because God, Paul says, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. God gives those. That brother or sister sitting over there is probably a gold mine about the truth. Because it says, for our comely parts have no need, but God, having tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. What do they lack? They lack the interaction from the brethren, and the Heavenly Father provides it for them. He gives them more honor. He gives them anything that they're lacking. 25, there should be no schism in the body. No schism in the body. You know, we have I'll say this. It's not meant to offend anybody, but it's what I think. You know, I wasn't around when all the classes had all their issues in the 50s and 60s and 70s. But I don't think any split was ever caused by the truth. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We have a responsibility to have the same care one for another. I can't care for you more than I care for you. Or I can't care for you more than I care for this brother back here. Or you more than her, or him more than her, or him more than her. We have to have the same care, what it says right there. There should be no schism, and that the members should have the same care one for another. Who are your brethren? And what is your responsibility to them? Who are my brethren? What is my responsibility to them? You know, where do we all want to be? Part of 144,000. You know, I gave a talk, a short talk in Seattle. Who are all these dead people? You know, you go to a cemetery and you see all these tombstones. You can't even read who they are. But you're going to know who they are if you're part of the church. And 144,000, you're going to know who they are because you're going to resurrect them. And eventually, you'll know, the church will know every living person that there is. The world of mankind will know every living person there is. And so I think as prospective body members of Christ, we have an obligation to interact. You know, can you imagine? There's a lot of brethren I don't know. And the one thing I don't want to do is get up there and if I make my congregation church, wow, you know, why didn't we ever talk? That probably won't happen because I'm going to make every effort I can to try to talk to her, you know, at least have a conversation with everybody I can have a conversation with. It's hard. But it's, you know, if you're going to make get your crown, you got to carry your cross. You know, and it's like, well, brethren say, well, my problem is that I forget that a lot of brethren are shy. I'm shy. It's hard to believe it. I'm shy. I have to force myself. I do. I have to force myself to go and talk to brethren. I do. You don't believe that, but I do. But I have to realize, you know, it's like I kind of, I don't want to say impose myself upon, but if I feel this need, a strong need to go and, you know, and give the hand of fellowship and have a conversation and, you know, get to know somebody, get to know that brother or sister, but I haven't done that. And it's not, it's a difficult thing to do, but we should be striving to, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe saying that we need to try to do our best to get to know as many brothers as we possibly can, we should do that. But I will tell you this, that when I do get to know the brethren, there's this transition. Things change. And until I do that, I'll give you a story. A true story. And I want to tell you this because it's going to hold me responsible. Now, has anybody ever gone to a convention and they wonder, they want to try to talk to somebody and they feel like maybe they're being ignored? Am I the only one that feels that? Am I? You're shaking your head, yes. I'm not, am I? I'm not. Well, you know, and my strive to get to know the brethren, you know, the general convention is about, 500 brethren there, 450, 500 brethren. So it's kind of hard. But I've been going there for about 20 years, and there's three or four brethren that I just say, they're hard nuts to crack. You know? And then I'm going to name one. Because I got to hold myself. One is Rick Sorossi. I've had a real hard time trying to get to know Rick Sorossi. Really, yeah. Have you got to know me? All right? It's not easy. It's not an easy thing. But we can probably all share similarities. And I'm using him for an example because of what happened. This is how the Heavenly Father intervenes. So I gave a talk on meaningful conversations and getting to know your brethren. And I was outside the LLC, the Learning Center, where the brethren stay. And I'm talking to Dan Keenis. I'm talking to Tim Tchotchke. And they're sitting on their bench. I'm saying, you know, I said, I've really been trying to get to know Rick Sorossi. It's really been difficult for me. Because we were talking about the discussion and what have you. And I said, this gives me goosebumps. I said, next time I see him, I'm going to talk to him. And who walks out the door? I'm serious. I'm standing here, and they're right here, and I'm like this, and I walk around, and he walks out the door. Now, was that by chance? Pardon? So what he did is he came up, and this gets better. You know, those of you that were at General Convention last year, Rick gave a really good talk on the new creature, and he gave this talk about action-reaction. And you have a situation, and typically our reaction, there's no time between the reaction. You know, it's like a split decision, and usually that decision is wrong. So he said, you have a situation, and then you have this time frame where you react, and that time frame is allowing the new creature to have control over your life. And so he walks out, and I'm telling Tim Tim Tchotchke, next time I see him, I'm going to have a conversation. So he walks out, and he walks over, and what was my first thought? I'm not going to talk to him. I talked to him. And that's so typically human, isn't it? And I thought about it. And I said, you know, I didn't know I was doing it, but I was applying his lesson. I didn't know it yet. And so I told him, I said, Rick, I said, I really want to apologize to you because I haven't made the effort to have a meaningful conversation with you. And they were leaving, so we vowed to have a meaningful conversation. So now, you see, I'm being held accountable because you all know it. And you're going to say, well, Rick, has he talked to you yet? So I'm driving home with Martin Powell, and we're talking about it, and he pointed out that I did what Rick was teaching us to do. I never even thought about it, but that delay was what he was talking about. And I remember I called David Stein. I was telling David, you will not believe what happened. And to me, it's just incredible because there was a talk on the overruling providence of God. And there was no doubt in my mind that that was the overruling providence of God. And I was talking to David Stein, and he said, you know what that was? That was a kiss from God. What an incredible, and that just gives me goosebumps.
And so, you know, we need to look for those kinds of opportunities. I share that with you because I think anecdotal things are important, because I'm not the only one who has these experiences and has these issues. You know, so now you can all hold me responsible. And I hope Rick's not is it off? How could I not share that story? You know, it's just an incredible, you know, our Heavenly Father blesses us if we're really, you know, I want to be careful because I don't want to seem arrogant or proud, or it just overwhelmed me. I still get goosebumps from thinking about it. Walking right out the door. Instantaneous. Here, you're going to get what you want. You know, so take it. There should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care one for another. One of the things I've been doing, and this is my second pilgrim trip on the East Coast, and one of the things I'm really doing is trying to get out and meet the other brethren. You know, there's always the other brethren. I'm part of the other brethren, and I don't think that way. You know, what I'm seeing is there's less and less of that thinking. We're understanding that Christian liberty amongst our brethren is important, especially if we're realizing that we're all in the holy arrangement. Well, we're just two of us, we're in a holy arrangement. We're talking about the truth, and we have to understand that our Lord's there. And He hears our thoughts and our thinking. You know, one of the things I've been doing in my prayer life is, and it's really been helpful, is this what God wants me to do? I ask myself, is this what God wants me to do? And that helps out. I testified about 6 months ago when I was talking in class, and all these things I'm working on, you know, I'm working on forgiveness and I'm working on this. And she says, well, why don't you just work on one thing? You know, the manna yesterday, this one thing I do. That's good advice. Now, we are bodies of Christ and members in particular. And here it starts talking about again, and some in the church are apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts, healing, helps, governments, diversities, tongues. Are all apostles? Is everybody here? You know, I think apostle means to, you know, disciple. We're all in a sense disciples of our Lord and Heavenly Father. Are all of us teachers? Does everyone here interpret? And it goes on here, it says, first, and I like this transition between 31 and chapter 13, but covet earnestly the best gifts. In other words, we should want to be able to do those things in the right heart condition to be the best gifts. What's going to help me be the best at sharing and having developing relationships with our brethren that are pleasing to the Heavenly Father? And then he goes on to say, and I'll show you how. In verse 31. And then he goes into chapter 13. And he tells us how. So here he gives us all these things about the body of Christ and the differences of things. And he says, desire the best gifts. But then I'll show you how. And he goes on, chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am what? A sounding bronze or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. You think this is talking, what kind of knowledge you think it's talking about? You think it's talking about worldly knowledge here? It's talking about this. If you can know all this backwards and forwards. You can't love your brethren. It's meaningless. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. It's worthless. Love suffereth long. And we talked about God's forbearance, His long suffering. It's, you know, is long-suffering and forbearance is why we're here. It's taking, you know, thousands of years to develop the church. Love suffereth long and is kind, it's not envious, it doesn't vaunt itself, and it's not puffed up. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not its own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. No evil. Thinks no evil. Who are your brethren? What is your responsibility to your brethren? Right there. Not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Now, these things are hard. Some are better at certain aspects of it than others. I mean, you know, there are certain things that are easier for me. There's things that are very difficult for me. And it's, you know, we're all different. We all have different varying abilities. You know, our Heavenly Father is using our fallen nature to do what? Develop a new creature. He's using our fallen, sinful nature to develop a new creature. Our fallen humanity is what He uses to make us Christ-like. Because we have to make the distinction, a wretched man that I am. The Apostle Peter talks about, as your faith, virtue, knowledge, and self-control. And after self-control, patience. You have to have self-control before you can have patience. And patience, I think, is the basis of love and forgiving and, you know, all the other fruits of the Spirit. But without self-control, you know, I think when Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, he was entering the self-control mode. Because right after that, he wrote all the character epistles. I think he realized that his humanity was wretched. And then he went right into the character development. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It seeks not its own. It's not easily provoked and thinketh no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love never faileth, but where there are prophecies, they will be done away with. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease, and whether there be knowledge, they shall vanish away. Again, you think it's talking about worldly prophecies and worldly knowledge? It's going to be done away with. You think 10,000 years is going to really matter when the kingdom started? The brethren are going to sit around debating it? It's not going to matter. I think that's what it's all going to pass away. For we know it says, love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away with, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, and whether there be knowledge, they shall vanish away. And it goes on to say, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. That means we don't know everything. We don't know everything. Is anybody here that knows all the truth? No. We know in part. But, verse 10, but when that which is perfect has come, what's going to be perfect? God's kingdom. That which is perfect comes, what? Then that which is in part, what we know in part, will be done away with. Not that, I'm not saying that knowledge, the understanding of God's plans and purposes, and the doctrines and things we understand are not important. But they're not going to be something that's going to, you think the world of mankind is going to be looking, I mean, they may look at these things, but they're not relevant to what's going to be happening with them. I probably worded that wrong. You know, sometimes I say things that don't come out exactly clear. If you have a question that, you can come up and ask me and try to clarify it. I just don't think that, again, the best thing I can say is the things that we argue, or not argue, but debate about, you think they're really going to be important 10, 15, 20,000 years, 10,000 years in the kingdom? I don't think so. But that which is perfect has come, then that which is part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we all see in the mirror darkly. We don't see it clearly, but face to face. Now I know in part. Even Paul admitted he only knew in part. But he also said that that part he knows is going to be done away with. But then I shall know even as also I'm known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And then verse 4 tells you what to do with it. Verse 14, it says, and Obi pointed this out to me, I really appreciate it. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. We have a responsibility. Who are our brethren? We have a responsibility to them, to us. But rather that ye may prophesy. And that really means, what does that mean, Deanna?
Speak the message of God.
Speak the message of God. If you look at Philip's desire to speak the message of God. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. However, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So speak clearly the things of God. Okay? But he that prophesy or speaks the words of God speaketh unto men to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. And that's what we should be talking about. Those things that exhort, edify, and comfort. So, again, it's been a real privilege to be with you. I'll kind of move around and see if there's some of you I haven't talked with. I'll try to talk with before I... I'll wait right there by the door, okay? You can't get by me. I'm shaking my hand. But it's been a real privilege. I love all of you. And will it only be great when the kingdom comes? Lord, that's blessed.